Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as you see its branch become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Our focus verse of our meditation today says, beware, or maybe easier, look, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. That phrase, keep alert, keep watch, keep awake, can be translated a few different ways. It comes up three times in this reading. If you were to start at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, there's a few more, or in the chapter 13 of Mark, it would go a few more times yet. Clearly an emphasis. But I wonder, how often have we thought about what it looks like to watch, to keep awake? What are we watching for? What are we keeping alert and awake to? I think, of course, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, of course, we're watching for Jesus to come back. After all, it says we don't know when it will be, and we should not be asleep. It might be any part of the day. So, let's watch. And the purpose seems to be, let's ensure we don't miss Jesus' return. And, of course, there's some pretty good reasons to think that. Our focus verse today has that. You don't know when the time will come. So, seemingly, let's not dawdle. Stay awake. Let's not let what is unknown and what is completely unpredictable sneak up on us. Or we might say, let's make what is unknown become a little more known. Sometimes I think when we hear this, stay awake and watch, it's if we're planning to simply kind of stare at the sky and waiting for Jesus to return, because after all, if it's unpredictable, that's all basically we could do. The whole point, though, is we aren't gonna know. But what if, instead of thinking about it that way, what if this ignorance, what we don't know, isn't a problem, but is instead an asset? What if staying awake is not simply about looking for Jesus to be coming back, but looking around where we are? That the phrase, for you do not know when the time will come, might be meant not as a warning, but as a liberation. Don't focus on what you can't focus on. It's not always great to know, after all, what you can't control. And to provide an example of that, I want to tell a story. It wasn't something that happened to me. It was a friend of mine in North Idaho named Luke. And he liked playing handball at the local health club. And on their, they had like a league night or something where I didn't play. So they had something where they went. And he went down, and one time He played someone he'd not met before, which was really not all that unusual. And this guy was really, really good. And Luke tried hard and he played well and it was competitive, but Luke definitely lost. And at the end, they respected each other, had a nice little conversation and left. And then when he got done, someone of his friends ran up to him and said, "Do you know who you just played?" He said, "Yeah, sure." He said his name was Jake. He said, "No, that was Jake Plummer." And he still looked kind of, you know, okay, well, 2 years ago, he was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos before he retired, and retired here in Sandpoint. Luke was pretty surprised. When he was telling us the story the next day, he said, "You know, frankly, I'm so glad no one told me, because I would have been so intimidated the whole time. But as it was, this was just Jake. We were just playing a game." And I tell that story because I think we assume that when it says, "For you don't know when the time will come," means that therefore we need to be awake as much as possible so we can kind of know when the time will come. Which is, of course, ridiculous. Instead, what I'd like to think is one possible way of thinking differently about what we're watching for. And here I think we can be invited more carefully in what Jesus is saying. Notice what is described. Not watching up in the heavens for Jesus to pop through. It's looking at the world around us. The sun, the moon, the stars. And right before this passage, at the beginning of Mark 13, it talks about seeing false messiahs, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, persecution, and just enmity between one another. What are we being alert to? The world around us. And all that conversation leads us to the world around us not acting the way we would expect. Something new is at hand. In fact, this whole dialogue started up at the very beginning of chapter 13 with the disciples being there at the temple, being impressed by what it looked like. Jesus replies that this temple, like everything in the world, isn't permanent. Instead, it will fall as all things will. And Jesus goes as far as to say, "Heaven and earth will pass away." And here I don't think Jesus is speaking only of what will happen when he returns, but instead a present reality for what is happening already right now. Heaven and earth are changing. It's a process of dying and rebirth all the time. And what we thought we knew about the world is radically new and different. And I know many of you can feel that way, seeing the world and our society and not recognizing some aspects of what's happening. Because our world changes so quickly and we struggle to keep up. That might be part of what Jesus is saying here. Heaven and earth passing away before us. So then it leads to this question of staying alert, keeping awake. And maybe it has less to do with being alert to what we can't know when Jesus comes, because the description is pretty clear. You're not going to miss it when Jesus comes. But a lot more to do with how we're alert to the world around us and the people around us. But of course, being aware of the world around us is not always a very pretty picture. There are moments, of course, of wonderful grace and mercy, but there's also moments of some pretty terrible ways people treat other people. We see it every day on national, international news that I don't need to describe, but I think we feel it even more deeply in our own lives. As we struggle ourselves and are in conflict, often with people we love the most. As we enter into holidays, sometimes those family wounds open more robustly than at any other time. We can feel that pain, the result of what Paul called this present evil age, the sinfulness and the death that we live in. Jesus says at that, "Stay awake, And I submit that was what we're being alert to. The world around us, the broken world around us, heaven and earth seemingly passing away before our eyes, everything we thought we know, even to those dearest to us, changing abruptly, sometimes in very good ways, but other times in very hard ways. Sometimes we need to wake up to that. Wake up to the fact that the world around us isn't as it always was, and we can't continue trying to make it the same. Other times, of course, it's the opposite. Sometimes we are really good at seeing the darkness, the danger of the world. We're Lutherans, after all. Here also, we're called to wake up. Because of the second half of that verse, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Even though this world is broken, God's love persists anyway. We could see the presence of God in this world right now in many ways, but including in one another. In the moments of incredible grace and generosity, they're a part of this world too. Because no matter how much our sinfulness leads us astray, no matter how much our heaven and our earth pass away, the word of God will not pass away. Be awake to that too. We are ignorant of when Jesus will return, but rather that being a charge for us to work hard and focus solely watching for Jesus, let the fact that we don't know be a freedom to dare to go and see the world around us for what it really is, both good and bad. And I think we can have the boldness to do that because this passage has an awful lot of hope and grace in it. It does say that Jesus will return and that the evil we face in a very real way will be destroyed. But in this meantime, what does it mean to be watching now? Well, there was a little verse, I don't know if you noticed, in the midst of everything else, saying, then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Notice it didn't talk about everybody being in one worship site, being ready for Jesus. Instead, they were awake to the world around them at every corner of the earth. And from there, from wherever they are, God gathers them. That's the grace here. We could be alert and awake to the problems of the world around us, or indeed in our own lives, because we can have the hope of knowing Christ who gathers us in. The words of Christ will never pass away for us. So we don't know when the time will come, but we really don't need to, because we trust Christ knows. That's the hope that we have in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.